Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
It's a big world.
Oh, wow! It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk. Reward. Opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to our world. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Take down our number and join us toll free, 877-933-2484. That's 1-877, have to start with a 1, 1-877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, entrepreneurship, being an independent worker, getting out there and finding work even if you can't find a job. And having work and having a job or an employment position, those are not necessarily the same thing. You can do one without the other. We're here to talk about all those things. We are open for your calls with questions and comments at 877-933-2484. My question for you in this episode of our program here, we are well underway into the new year, 2015. And the question is simply this, let's be honest and candid about this. I do from time to time pose some questions that are kind of challenging. Maybe they're challenging. And when we face challenges, sometimes that's a little uncomfortable. I hope this isn't too uncomfortable, but I hope you'll answer the question and be honest about it. Would you say that in our culture, and I realize that, you know, most people with us today are in the United States of America, but many in Canada as well. In our respective cultures, do Christians still believe that work is important? And if so, how do we talk about it? Is work still important to Christians in our era? And if so, how do we talk about work? How would you answer that question? It's 877-933-2484. We'll get to some latest details here about the state of work in America and job creation and business. Also, later this hour, we'll talk about some of the latest trends in small business startups. I will give you this hint that the number of jobs that are shuttering, closing down, going away, that is happening at a more rapid pace than there are new business startups. And businesses always have life cycles, and just as sure as new businesses start, they peak and they plateau and then they decline and they shut down. That's kind of the normal case of things. But when we have a situation where there are more businesses closing down, going away, dying, if you will, than there are new businesses starting up and being born, so to speak, that's something noteworthy and worthy of our attention. So tell me what you think about that. Again, we're open for your questions and comments. My question for you, do Christians still believe that work is important? And if so, how do Christians talk about it? 877-933-2484 is our number. 877-933-2484. That's our toll-free number. We'll get to calls coming up in just a few moments. So as I mentioned just a moment ago, well underway we are with the year 2015, and we've already been treated to some news headlines over the last few weeks. You've probably seen some of this about the job creation numbers in our economy. And again, this is for the United States of America over the course of the month of December 2014. Every month at the beginning of the start of the month, usually the first Friday of a new month, we have data published for us from our U.S. Department of Labor. Some of the information comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but they're government-generated numbers, and the numbers look back at the month that just concluded, the previous month, and it says, well, here's the average unemployment rate, here's the number of jobs that were created, and let's move on. And for the month of December, based on what we were told, the unemployment rate dipped. It went down, I think, one or two tenths of a point. It's now down on national average. This varies regionally, but on national average, it's down to 5.6%. which just on the surface, that's a pretty manageable number for the percentage of the population that is, quote unquote, unemployed, or at least it appears that way. You know, typically, I mean, economies do real well here in the United States of America with 3%, 4%, 5% unemployment. And there are some economic theorists who would say, we don't want 100% employment. That things get crazy if everybody who wants a job actually gets a job. It's actually more productive to have some people looking. Not that you'd want somebody stuck in that rut forever, but you don't want 100% employment. That brings about its own problems. So 5.6% unemployment on average, that looks pretty reasonable. Also, the number of jobs that were, quote unquote, created during the month of December, that amounts to about 251,000 new jobs. And that looks like a very robust number. Now, we need sustained, you know, month after month after month of that level of job creation to get us where we need to go in this country. But those two data points alone, as I pointed out before, the average unemployment rate across the country on the one hand and the number of jobs created across the country on the other hand, that doesn't really give us the full picture of what's going on with work. For one thing, just simply saying, yeah, 251,000 new jobs in December, that's great. So let's move on to page two. Well, that doesn't really tell us anything about the quality of those jobs. And I point that out before. That data point, it is quantitative. It spells a quantity or a number to us, spells out a quantity, but it doesn't really tell us about the quality of the job. Is it a job that allows somebody the opportunity to move up and to advance? What kind of wage does it pay? It doesn't tell us anything about the quality of the job. Well, in the midst of all of this, there is a gentleman. His name is Jeff Cox, C-O-X. And he's with the, I would say respectfully, but candidly, the beleaguered cable TV news channel, CNBC. I like CNBC, but they're really struggling right now with viewership, just as a little sidebar. Anyway, Jeff Cox comes along, and earlier this week, he did this analysis of what the unemployment rate and the jobs creation numbers really tell us, what's really under the surface. Notice what Jeff Cox has to say about wages. Yes, 251,000 new jobs in January, but listen to this. Hit it.
To me, the most important number from the whole report is 5 with a minus sign in front of it. That is the decline in hourly wages. So it shows us that we're still not creating those great quality jobs.
Okay, so now he's getting to something qualitative. He's speaking to the quality of the job. Yes, a huge number of jobs created in December of 2014. We celebrate that. But the wages aren't very good. And the inclination in our culture, when there's lots of jobs and people are working but making very poor wages, or what we perceive to be very poor wages, the inclination, the natural knee-jerk response, I guess, is to be angry with business owners and to lash out at companies. I know our president, for example, has pushed and pushed and pushed in this environment to say, well, let's raise the federally mandated minimum wage law. Just pass a law. Just use the power of government to force businesses to pay higher wages. Okay. Some states around the country in last year's election in November of 2014, they passed statewide ballot initiatives saying the job must pay X as a bare minimum if a company is going to employ anybody. I think there's probably a better way to grow wages. In fact, if you're listening to us on our Fargo Faith Radio Network affiliate in Fargo, North Dakota, folks in Fargo, North Dakota, and throughout North Dakota and other regions of the country know a whole lot about how high even the minimum wage entry-level job pays when the overall economy grows. The North Dakota economy has done very well with the oil boom in that state, and that has buoyed along and lifted up all employment and all wages, really, for all intents and purposes. But the inclination is just to get angry and say, well, people are working, but they're not paying enough. The company must be doing something unfair. Maybe, however, if we are to engage our God-given intellect and our capacity for reason and thinking critically and those kinds of things, I think maybe there's more to it than just that. But be that as it may, here's the first little, I guess the little a ding in the armor, so to speak, that this, you know, 251,000 new jobs created in December, everything's wonderful. First sign here that maybe things aren't so wonderful. The jobs don't pay very well. But here is a next piece, next audio soundbite here from this gentleman, Jeff Cox at CNBC. And this really gets to the reason I asked this question today. Do Christians still believe that work is important? And if so, how do we talk about it? What he's about ready to say here gets to a phenomena that is engulfing the United States of America right now. And I think the church can and should articulate a solution to it. But it really requires that we begin getting back to some of the biblical basics of the necessity of work. Anyway, listen to what Jeff Cox says. He's looking at a couple of different numbers that are being ignored with the reports about unemployment and job creation and such. Then he goes on to the second number. Roll the audio, please.
Now, the next number, let's take a look at 62.7. That's a huge number. That is the labor force participation rate. Folks, that is the lowest that number has been since December of 1977, which shows that the labor force continues to decline for a number of reasons.
Okay, 62.7%. 62.7% of those who are able-bodied and otherwise could be working are actually in the labor force. And by the way, how do you define the labor force? Does that mean you have a job? No, not necessarily. If you have a part-time job, a full-time job, or even if you're just looking for employment, you're a part of the labor force. Only 62.7% of the overall American population is actually trying to work or working in some limited capacity. And as he pointed out, that's the worst figure. That's the lowest rate at which people are trying to participate in the labor force for well over 30 years now. Almost 40, actually. Again, my question, do Christians still believe that working is important? And if so, how do we talk about it? Pastors, if you're with me on this one, please weigh in. How do you approach this subject? Because the biblical and spiritual profundity, the profound nature and really necessity of work has to begin coming from the pulpits. How do you address this issue? Is there an issue with a lack of work in your own family? Are you concerned that there are people in your own family who are able-bodied who simply choose not to work? I have relatives in my extended family who have lived that way for decades. It's appalling. It's tragic. It's sad. Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. I told you this was going to be kind of a tough question, but it needs to be discussed, don't you think? Do Christians still believe that work is important? And if so, how do we talk about it? How do you talk about it? We'll talk more. We'll get to your questions coming up. Also, some great suggestions on some of the trends in small business startups. Maybe some things that you and members of your family, people in your church or your extended community might be interested in. All this and more just ahead. It's 877-933-2484. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Don't go anywhere.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. This is the show for business owners of today and tomorrow. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Great to have you with us here on this episode of Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. 877-933-2484 is our number. 877-933-2484. We're open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, entrepreneurship, about work, about the economy. We try to see all these issues through the lenses of scriptural truth, through the lenses of our Christian faith. And my question for you simply is this: do Christians still believe that work is important? And if so, how do we talk about it? By the way, earlier this week, as I was preparing for this weekend's episode of the broadcast, I forget exactly how this happened, but I ended up being in some kind of email dialogue with a friend of mine, a business owner in the Southern California area. He doesn't listen to the program. We don't have a Southern California broadcast affiliate just yet. He's heard some of our podcasts at myfaithradio.com. But anyway, he just shot me a message. Hey, what's coming up on the program this week? And I said, well, we're going to talk about this phenomena of Christians and work, and specifically a problem with men not working in our culture and our economy. And he just wrote back. He said, I had no idea this was such a big deal. I would challenge any of you. I'll read some of this coming up here in just a few moments. I would challenge you next time you are online, bring up your, I guess, your search engine of choice, whether it's Google or something, something of that sort, and to just input the words men not working. And watch the volume of news stories from multiple different kinds of news sources all over the United States of America. Watch the volume of news stories pop up. I mean, here's one that I see from the from almost exactly a year ago, from early February of 2014, from the Wall Street Journal. More men in their prime years and of working age don't have jobs. Here's one from the spring, May of 2014. One in six American men between the ages of 25 and 54 choose not to work. Here's one from the Atlantic Monthly from early December of last year. The mysterious rise of the non-working man. And then the New York Times did a couple of very profound stories on this subject. So this is a big deal in our culture, and I think the church can actually have a part of the solution here. But how do you handle it? It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Jill is up next in Minneapolis. Jill, welcome to our program. Hello.
Hello. I think that in the Christian circles, money is more important than work. And I would suggest that I hear much more about money, whether it's I'm getting an unemployment check, or whether it's someone's investment portfolio, or whether it's doing the job that they love. They're going to find a job doing work that they love. It's all about getting money as opposed to the actual value for work. And how do we talk about it? I think that, first of all, you hit it right on the head. I mean, it should come from the pulpit. Duh. You know, I just didn't even think of that for an answer until you said it, which made me think about discussing work as being honorable. The mm-hmm. scriptures certainly point to that. Work as being essential. We've seen work from the very beginning with Adam labeling the animals. I mean, there's work examples of Nehemiah building the wall all the way through up. What a sermon series that whole thing could be. But also from the Proverbs, sadly to say, the first one that came to mind is, go to the ant, you sluggard, learn from his ways and be wise. Maybe you don't want to hit people over the head, but discussing laziness and sloth mm-hmm. could be a part of that. And those are just some ideas I have. I would like to see the church get back to less emphasis on the money aspect of work and the reward of work as opposed to the actual value and the expectation from God that we will work.
Yeah. I think there is an expectation. And again, you know, as we talk about this, and Jill, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it very much. As we talk about this issue, she's right. There is a biblical expectation. And I think the expectation is leveled at men in particular, but really for all of us, that if we are able-bodied, we should be trying our best to find work. That's a tough pill to swallow, and I get that. Our culture says, oh, but, you know, that might hurt somebody's feelings if we say that. And, you know, let's make sure we provide plenty of resources for those who don't work. But, I mean, my goodness, you go and look at some of the writings of the Apostle Paul. Go back. Yeah, one of my favorite passages about work and business is 1 Timothy chapter 5. The Apostle Paul's admonitions to his understudy Timothy about the absolute necessity of work. And it could not be clearer. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in writing, the man who chooses not to work is as though he has lost his faith. That's pretty harsh stuff. And here's another just interesting observation, and I think this oftentimes goes overlooked, but there is a nonprofit organization built around, it's called Proverbs 31 Ministries. And it's an outreach ministry to women, and I don't know a whole lot about what they do, but they actually produce a lot of media content that gets heard on Christian broadcast radio stations around the country. And there's people within that organization that have written books about the so-called the Proverbs 31 woman. You ever stopped and read the entire chapter of Proverbs 31 and read about the woman that is characterized in that book? She's in the marketplace. She is a businesswoman, for heaven's sake. We need to restore this kind of discussion, I believe, in our churches. Craig is up next in South Dakota. Craig, thanks for holding. You're on with Austin Hill. It's the Faith Radio Network, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Hello.
Hi. Hey. Well, I just wanted to pair what you said. I do think that pastors need to talk about this stuff, and I've yet to have a pastor talk about this. You'll hear talk radio pastors talk about these kinds of topics, but I've never heard a pastor in the pulpit talk about men going to work and that, you know, it is a sin to work your 20 hours a week and, you know, be on the government's welfare system. And it's just, it's very frustrating. I mean, when you say 62% of the workforce is actually working, I mean, that should be a jaw dropper to everyone.
But I think really, it certainly, yeah, I certainly think it should be a wake-up call for us, for sure. Craig, thank you very much. Good to hear from you in Brookings, South Dakota. Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Do Christians still believe that work is important? And how do we talk about it? We'll continue on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
We're on the road to economic recovery, and we're headed towards your future. Now back to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Hey, thanks for listening. I am in the house every weekend at this same time on this great radio station that you're listening to. This is where we connect faith to the issues of business and entrepreneurship and job creation and the economy. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. 877-933-2484 is our number. 877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership and entrepreneurship and being an independent worker, making a living even if you can't find a job. Just because one cannot find employment doesn't mean that there aren't business opportunities available. That's one of the big reasons why I do this program. I think this is an important conversation, and I bet you do as well. It's 877-933-2484. My question in this episode that I'm posing to you, do Christians still believe that work is important? And if so, how do we engage in this conversation? I want to replay this soundbite just briefly here before we get back to the phones. A gentleman named Jeff Cox from CNBC, the online and cable TV business news channel. Here he is saying there's kind of a second issue here with the unemployment dip and the job creation numbers for the month of December. And here's the second thing that we need to be looking at. Go ahead and roll the audio, please. Hit it.
Now, the next number, let's take a look at 62.7. That's a huge number. That is the labor force participation rate. Folks, that is the lowest that number has been since December of 1977, which shows that the labor force continues to decline for a number of reasons.
Okay, and we can discuss what those reasons are, but what he's saying there is the rate at which people are even trying to work is the lowest as of December 2014 than it has been since 1977. Now, if you were alive in 1977, have you considered how the world has changed? And, I mean, that's a long period of time. That's enough to make a lot of us feel older than we actually are, I suppose. But that's a very, very significant cultural trend. And I think Christians need to respond to it. I think the church has a role to play in correcting it. How about you? 877-933-2484. Back to the phones. Dr. Bachman is in Woodbury, Minnesota. Dr. Bachman, welcome to the program. Hello.
Austin, thanks for such an informative program. I am I'm a Christian therapist, and I can't tell you how many people have come to our Christian counseling clinic in the last several years applying for disability so that they don't have to work and they can be on a government payroll for disability. I think it's one of the saddest things in the culture among our working force, particularly for people who are depressed. The last thing that they need to be doing is being at home and not working outside the home. Men need to work, and it is crucial from a counseling perspective for their spiritual and emotional well-being.
Mm. That's you're saying some very profound things. Now, Dr. Bachman, I take it you are a psychotherapist, a psychologist. What, give us your precise...
I'm a clinical therapist, yeah, PhD in clinical psychology, yep.
Okay, now I think I understand what you're getting at here, but just so we all understand, people come to you and ostensibly they're making a counseling appointment, but they're saying, Dr. Bachman, would you please sign this paperwork verifying that I'm disabled or I can't work right now? So then they go to apply for state welfare benefits. Am I connecting the dots on that correctly?
That's right, Austin. Perfect connecting. It's it's something that I refuse to do. I've done it before, but I refuse to do it because it's becoming such a popular thing to do. And the benefits outweigh oftentimes what they will be able to receive financially by working at a regular job. And I refuse to participate in that program. First of all, I just think if you're able-bodied, of course, you're going to work. Depression is not a significant enough of an issue. There are some cases where it can be, but generally speaking, it's not a disability. It's not something that we should, as a matter of fact, the bottom line is work reduces depression.
That's certainly been my personal experience, and my inclination as a man is when emotional issues are troubling me, it probably does me good to get busy and to be productive. There are schools of thought, though, in your own profession, and you know them better than I do, Dr. Bachman, but yes. There are psychotherapeutic models that say, oh, no, if you get busy at a time of depression or a time of emotional or spiritual hardship, well, you're just burying the pain, you're masking your suffering, you need to take time out and just work through the issues, and now's no time to get busy. How do you respond to that, if you will? I mean, I think I understand that correctly, but bring us some clarity, if you would.
Well, let me just use the word psychobabble. I think the truth is, you know, people who are avoiding responsibility, also it ends up affecting a sense of identity, a sense of self-esteem. There is value in work. And I think particularly for men have been really hit hard with a card that says I can use this as a excuse. I don't have to be doing that which probably my father or grandfather did. We live in a different time. And the truth of God's word is that there is value and importance in provision for a family. And whether that's a family of 1, 2, 3, or 21, I think it's very psychologically and emotionally, spiritually important, the value of bringing income in. And I think we are generating a government system that rewards those that choose not to work.
Dr. Bachman, as you're describing this, this makes sense to me, and I'm delighted that you phoned in today and you're listening to our program. We hear this very kind of worldview impressed upon us and articulated and affirmed and encouraged through popular media, through popular culture. A lot of secular academia says, hey, this is, you know, this is charity, this is compassion to provide more and more and more welfare benefits, and we want nothing but empathy and sympathy for the person who claims that they can't find work. We don't want to serve up this, you know, hardline stance that says, no, you should be working. I fear that far too many of our churches are following the lead of popular culture and government and politics and media and really not looking to the scriptures for enlightenment on this issue. You're speaking from a very biblical vantage point, I think. What would you tell pastors about this?
Well, you know, I think we have, you know, also to take some responsibility here from a therapist point of view, because when a person walks into a counselor's office and gets the green light, gets the go ahead, gets the empathy, which I understand, everybody's story is worth listening to, being understood and being validated for at least being heard. But when it continues and the validation gives the green light for that person to not do the responsible thing in their life is to work, I think we play in our field of psychology, we play a very dangerous role. Obviously, the church is the cultural influence And we are seeing today the church doesn't have the strength of cultural influence. That's the problem. We have seen it on many levels, on social issues, on the moral issues today that are happening in our culture, and work is one of them that is central, and the church is not speaking about it. I don't know that they're afraid of it. I just think that they have lost a lot of their influence, and people are not listening to the church as they probably were at another time.
Well, it's very well stated. I appreciate your expertise as a clinician and a clinical psychologist, a therapist, and thank you very much for weighing in today, Dr. Bachman in Woodbury, Minnesota. That's very thoughtful. There is a man that brings some very unique wisdom and insight into this dialogue, wouldn't you say? I appreciate his comments very much. How about you? Do Christians still believe that work is important, and if so, how do we talk about it? There is a therapist who, a psychotherapist, Christian man, who accounts for his own experience with Christian individuals coming to his counseling office saying, please sign this paperwork saying I'm disabled or I have a problem here and I can't work, so then I can go sign up for my welfare benefits. And he refuses to sign the paperwork. It's a very difficult subject. I hear what Dr. Bachman is saying, that maybe Christians are not afraid of it, but we're just not looking to the scriptures on wisdom on this, and I suspect he's right. Work, does it matter? Here's the number. It's 877-933-2484. We'll get to more of your calls coming up in moments. Also on the way, some thoughts on, some trends in our economy with small business startups, and maybe some things you could look at. Or maybe somebody in your church, your family, your extended family, some things you could look at as far as producing revenue streams if there's not enough coming in right now. It's all right here. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Find us online at austinsbigworld.com. Our program continues momentarily. Don't go anywhere.
Small business drives our economy, and that's why we're talking about it. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Want to talk about job creation? We're creating our own jobs right here. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Thanks for listening. I am in the house every weekend at this same time on this great radio station that you're listening to. Find audio archives of our program anytime at 877 or at, let's not confuse the phone number and the website. Yeah, find audio archive. Now my colleagues are, they're staring in on me through the glass enclosed booth. They're looking through the windows, scoffing at me. I get no respect. Find our audio archives at myfaithradio.com. That is the network carrier, satellite carrier, that delivers our program to our broadcast affiliate stations, the Faith Radio Network, myfaithradio.com. And find the program information and information about me and my availability at austinsbigworld.com. Those are our key places in cyberspace, austinsbigworld.com and myfaithradio.com. Our phone number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Some thoughts on the small business ownership. If you maybe have discovered our program for the first time, and we certainly recognize that we have new people listening all the time on an ongoing basis, which is great. But sometimes, and I love this when this happens, by the way, not that I take joy in shocking people or surprising people, but from time to time, it does happen on a pretty regular basis, actually. People say, what? You're talking about entrepreneurship on a Christian talk radio station? I happen to think, I'm just crazy enough to believe, that the scriptures themselves and our Christian faith and Christian tradition has, quite frankly, shaped and informed and helped to create this thing that we know as the modern-day global economy. The very fact that work in the scriptures is valued and is to be respected and really articulated as something necessary and important, well, that has shaped our entire civilization, Western civilization, down through the centuries. I also believe, unfortunately, that we're losing our sensibility, and even just with respect to some of the phone calls today and some of our dialogue on this episode of our program, It seems to me we're losing some of the biblical essence, the biblical teaching on work and on business and the very economy itself. And we're not getting this message out. We're not focusing in on this for the purposes of church worship. It's not happening in our churches the way it needs to. And pastors, this is a time where you need to step up. And I'm not here to bash on pastors. That's not the point at all. But if this is something perplexing or something discomforting, maybe some of the things that you've heard today are a bit challenging at the very least, it's not too late. You can get tooled up and get educated on these issues. I would respectfully suggest, maybe we can do another round of giveaways of this book. We'll talk to the publisher and work this out. But myself and a former professor of mine when I was in graduate school, a gentleman named Dr. Scott Ray, who's a professor of philosophy and ethics at Biola University in the Los Angeles area, we co-authored a book that takes a biblical look on economics and business and work. It's called The Virtues of Capitalism. The Virtues of Capitalism. And you can find it if you go to thevirtuesofcapitalism.com. You can order it right there. You can also find it through our program website, austinsbigworld.com. Some people take a look at that word capitalism and they choke. I will, to be very honest here, and I'm not here to, again, I'm not here to try to be strident or get even with anybody or be angry at anybody, but that book was published almost 5 years ago now on what I believe to be still a very esteemed Christian publishing label, Moody Publishing. I have yet to see any Christian bookstore be willing to put The Virtues of Capitalism. By the way, the subtitle of the book is A Moral Case for Free Markets. I have yet to find any Christian bookstore willing to put that book on its shelf. I've gone into, as the author of this book, I've gone into Christian bookstores just randomly over the years, and I've said, do you have this book called The Virtues of Capitalism? I remember shortly after the book published, and Moody Publishing was finding it very difficult to get the book stocked on bookstore shelves. I walked into a Christian bookstore. I was in the Los Angeles area, and I said, hi, I'm looking for a particular book on Moody Publishing, and the young lady working behind the desk said, sure, what's the title? I said, it's The Virtues of Capitalism. And she rolled her eyes very sarcastically and said, as though there are any virtues of capitalism. I mean, that, and I said, well, that's an interesting response. Tell me what you know about capitalism. Well, she went off on all the various presumptions that people make about free markets and private sector economy. She said, well, it's all about greed, and it's all about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And I said, well, you know, that's addressed in the book, interestingly enough. And I finally told her, I said, I co-authored this book, by the way. And she was very embarrassed and whatnot. And I said, look, no embarrassment needed, but would you please be, would you even be willing to get a hold of this book and read it? My point here is that I believe a fully, adequately, biblically informed view of economic systems traces right back to those who are made in the image and likeness of God. It traces back to the individual human person. This is, some people describe this as economic personalism, putting the subject of business and economics in its appropriate and proper context. It's about people, boys and girls, men and women, made in the image of their God, which is a profound, profound doctrinal essential. We have, as people, we have a role, we have a place in the created order, unlike any of the other plants and animals around us. God made us in His image. Have you stopped and considered how profound that is? What a blessing that is. What an amazing thing that is. But with that amazing thing come some expectations and some responsibilities, frankly. And as I pointed out earlier, some of the biblical admonitions as we look to the early followers of Christ, the Apostle Paul in particular, he could not have been more clear. And guys, the Apostle Paul's writings, while he was writing in a culture that was very male dominant, and he was speaking primarily to men, he was also very affirming of women, but he makes the case to say, guys, it's up to us. It is up to us to step up and be the providers anywhere and in any situation where we can. That's not a statement of sexist, prejudicial sentiment. That's not to undermine or to diminish the significance of women in the marketplace. Thank God for great female managers in the business marketplace. I've worked for men, I've worked for women. Men and women bring different attributes to the workplace, and I'm here to tell you, I have learned a whole lot about business and being a good worker from female bosses, in many cases when the guys were just inept in the room. There's a lot to say about that, but guys, it's time for men to wake up. I mentioned this earlier in our program. If you do nothing but go to the, I'll call it the search engine of your choice. We are inclined to say, go do a Google search. It doesn't have to be Google. You go to your search engine of choice online and put in the words, men not working. And the number of reports that pop up over and over and over and again about this growing trend. Multiple news reports, multiple different news agencies throughout the United States of America, throughout the calendar year 2014. One report after another, guys just checking out, not even trying to work. That's a serious problem. And a part of the Big World of Small Business program that we do here is to get the word out. To say just because there's not an employment position available at any given moment doesn't mean that there aren't opportunities to work and to make money. Small business ownership can be as small as you working as a freelancer. That's why we talk about all these things. Final few moments of the show. Richard up next. Richard, thanks for holding, sir. You're on with Austin Hill. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, Austin. How are you?
Good, sir. What's up?
So, I've got a. I certainly don't have any answers for this, but I've got some perspective anyway. So I own a reasonable sized manufacturing company here in Minneapolis, and actually work in homeless ministry as well. I work in a couple of ministries where we serve breakfast in the morning at one of the shelters, and my wife and I started a nonprofit last year as well too. So a couple of things that I've observed is one is that.
And, Richard, we're short on time. Get to your point real quick, please.
Yeah, it's a complex problem that probably it has a lot of facets to deal with. I think education is one of the challenges. I think there are fewer opportunities than there used to be. There aren't people that are pumping gas or operating elevators anymore. You know, so I think that there's a lot of different issues. Part of it's motivation, but part of it's education and opportunity as well.
There's no doubt about that. Richard, I'll tell you what, stay on the line. I'd like to get your number. Perhaps you can join me for an upcoming episode. I'd like to get more of your perspective, being a business owner and being involved in homeless ministry. I'm sure you have a very, very distinct perspective. Thank you for listening. Find us anytime, austinsbigworld.com. Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business is a production of Hill Communications, LLC. All rights reserved. Have a great week ahead. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next weekend at this same time on this great radio station. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. For more information about this, you can visit the Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business program page on myfaithradio.com.